Well, hello, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth again, and I thank you for joining in on this next recording. We have been studying the lesson concerning obedience, and that's what we're going to do today. We're going to go right back into it. I think this is our fourth recording in the study of obedience. Now, I just want to remind you of a few things before we get going here. I do have these recordings. If you would prefer to have also, well, even listening to these, but I mentioned it to you that I had all these recordings in written form that I teach in written form, and you are welcome to them, and they run right along with our lesson. As a matter of fact, that's what I'm using to teach these lessons, is right off of the lessons themselves as far as paperwork. And if you would like to have these, so that when we go through these, all you have to do is just ask, and I'll send them right to you, and you can print them, and you can have them right in front of you. And not only will you be listening to it as far as us learning together and doing it on these recordings, but you'll also have it in written form, and it's fill in the blank, and has everything that we talk about right down, just run right along parallel with what we're talking about on these recordings. And then you could take these lessons and turn around and gather them all up and use them for teaching your family, or having Bible studies with, or going over and learning again. I've been over these hundred. I'm not sure, but a lot. I've been over these and over them, and you can't learn them enough. If anything, you just go over it, and you could use it for your devotions and go over them, and you saturate yourself with the Word of God. And that is indeed what we use, is God's Word, and God's Word is all throughout these lessons. You know, I give you the scriptures right after we get done every time, if I remember, but if I don't, I give them to you on the next one. But it's all about God's Word. It's all about what saith the Lord. We're not interested in what the world teaches and as far as what they think about truth, because they don't know what truth is. The world does not know what truth is. They're living in darkness. But we know what truth is. Sorry about that. When you got neighbors, they'll knock on the door every time we get going with these recordings, but that's okay. I thought about just stopping and redoing the whole thing and starting over, but maybe that'll give you a good smile that we'll be having our Bible study here and somebody come knock on the door. But anyway, we'll keep going with it. So if you want these studies in written form, then just email me at ilovewmrforever@gmail.com. That's ilovewmr, the number 4, E-V-E-R, at gmail.com. Okay, well, let's get on into our study here. Just to recap just a little bit, we've been talking about obedience. This is study number 15. And we began this study talking about, remember, the statistics of the National Center for Health statistics concerning suicide and all that. And we went over that and everything. And just to kind of kick off our minds concerning obedience and the status of obedience in America when it comes to our young folks, as far you know, some the most people in America that should be obedient is Christians. Christians ought to be the example of what obedience is. The world's slipping off into a darker and darker and darker rebellious as we get to the end time, get to the time of the Lord Jesus Christ's return and his second coming. But we're going to be raptured out of here before that. But as we're moving toward waiting on the Lord Jesus Christ, things are just going to wax worse and worse, according to Peter. And we're not worried about that. what we want to do is mind the Lord and do everything that He wants us to do here and win people to the Lord Jesus Christ and bring them in and get them in the family, get them into the body of Christ, get them saved, get them baptized, and get them minding the Lord. And hell is real. Hell is a real place. And one of the things that keeps me going every time I think about it is that the Lord's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And you know what repentance is? I mean, it's contrast. Repentance is probably the contrast against obedience. To be obedient, there requires repentance. And the world is just too proud to repent about anything. They think repentance is for the comic strip in the newspaper. It's for the funny papers to read repentance. You know, and that's the way the world thinks about it now. But we're not talking about worldly thinking and the process of thinking worldly. We're talking about spiritual thinking. And the Lord said, that which is of the spirit is spirit, and that which is of the flesh is flesh, and that which is of the spirit is spirit. So that's why we're doing these studies, is so that we can nourish ourselves with spiritual thinking. But we talked about God's attitude regarding obedience and what the Lord thinks about obedience according to His Word and what He says. And then we talked about the source of true obedience. Remember that? And as we were going in, after we got out of that, we talked about some promises and blessings regarding obedience. And I'm glad those are in there. And there were many more than we went over. But hopefully you went over the scriptures that we were talking about. And I hope so. I'm pretty sure you did. The right attitude in obedience. We talked about that. And, that's just like little Susie sitting over there talking about, Daddy, I'm still standing up in my heart. Remember that? And, but you have to work at obedience. Obedience is something, is a discipline. It's something that you have to work at, and it's something that you got to do. It's something that's got to come about on purpose, and it's got to come about with sincerity. Obedience is not an insincere thing. You can't be obedient and in a proper way with a proper attitude without being sincere. And we know that. We know that. And so we also talked about. Let's see here. We also talked about the Lord Jesus Christ as far as our example of obedience. And we talked about Him. That's what we're going into today is, that's right, is the Lord Jesus Christ, our example. And I know I'm stuttering and doing all this. I've waited too long between recordings and between the last one and this one. And by the way, let me just add this, too. I wanted to say this at the beginning. As we're doing these studies, you'll hear me try to just kind of leap from one when we end one, like L-M. N-O-P, like if we're just finishing the letter L and we're going to go into M, you'll hear me jump from the letter M, from the letter L to the letter M. You'll hear me jump and it'll be kind of just like we never ended. But what I'm trying to say is, remember I told you that there might be some lessons that I'm going to interject into the ABCs, there might be two lessons on L or three lessons on L on different subjects or something like that. If you hear one that sounds like I wasn't coming out of the last letter and coming into this one because it didn't sound right, it's because one of them got put in there and that's just the way it is. But don't let that throw you off. I try to keep everything in order, but as messed up as I talk sometimes, it'll take everything you got to keep up with what I'm trying to say, like this one. But anyway, let's study some. We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to begin our study today on obedience, on the subject of the Lord Jesus Christ as our example of obedience. That He preached obedience, the Lord did, and the Bible Bible commands us to be obedient, even to the enemy. He commands us, and a lot of things, and that study gets into that too, as far as the authorities that we're supposed to be obedient. Now, this study is not talking to the world. It's not teaching the world obedience. It's teaching the body of Christ obedience. It's teaching the people that love the Lord obedience. This is Christ-like obedience. This is not worldly defined obedience, okay? The Lord Jesus Christ not only spoke about obedience, but he gave the example of what obedience was. Jesus Christ is God. He's God in the flesh, incarnate in the flesh. The fullness of the Godhead bodily in a body, in the body of Jesus. Jesus is a name of a man, a full blood, nerves, bones, sinews, eyeballs, fingers, fingernails, toes, all of the parts that a human being has as a body. He is a human being, Jesus. Okay, and 100% human, and that's the name of a man. Okay, but he is God. He's the God-man. You talk about Superman, Jesus is the real Superman. He is the God-man. And he came down here and took on flesh. The Lord came down and took on flesh, was born of a virgin. He lived 33 and a half years on this earth, and he went to the cross of Calvary and was crucified on purpose by his own will and his own decision, and being obedient to the Father. Being obedient to the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ gave us the example in the scriptures of what obedience is, but we can just look at him and see what obedience is. When people say, I love you, I love you, I love you, and we talked about love and the different kinds of love in some of the outskirts of these studies and mentioned love in some of them. But the world's kind of definition of love is not the scriptures. Not the Bible's definition, not God's definition, not Jesus' definition of what love is. When a Christian talks about love, he should be talking about the sacrificial, obedient love of Christ, because that's what it is. Christ's love is different than the definition of the worldly love that people talk about today. When the world says love, they're talking about perverted sex most of the time. To say I love you to somebody on the earth as a human being nowadays could have any kind of definition of a meaning. And you and me both know what probably they mean. That's why they go out to these bars and spend their money to try to find somebody to be in love with. But Christ-like love is different. Christ's love is a sacrificial love. It's a love that has obedience intertwined all in and out and through it. It's saturated with obedience. He was obedient to the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ was our example. The Bible says, let's get in some scripture. John chapter 6, verse 38 and 39, the Bible says, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Aren't you glad of that verse? That's a secure verse through obedience, the obedience of Jesus Christ. You see how Jesus was an example of obedience. He done what the Father wanted done. He didn't come down here and do what he wanted to do. He came to do what the Father wanted to do, even though the Lord agreed with it and did it. But he also done, his obedience also overflowed to our benefit, because the Lord said that he done the Father's will, and one of the reasons that he was doing the Father's will was so that all that the Father had given him, he wouldn't lose anything. That's a salvation security for us. Because of Jesus being obedient to the Father, it secures the believer, secures the people, the Christians that are in the body of Christ. And that's good news to me. Listen to Matthew chapter 26, verse 39 through 42. The Bible says, "And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt.' And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, 'What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.' He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, 'O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done.'" Thy will be done. And of course, we know what he was talking about. He wasn't talking about going to the cross. He was talking about the cup of the Father's wrath on sin being poured out on him. Yeah. The Lord had already, he prepared himself in the garden there. He knew, he got there right when he was going to and right when he said, and he knew when Judas was coming. And he said so. He said, "Let us go." He said, "Because I've been betrayed into the hands of sinners. I've been betrayed already." And Judas was on his way with that pack of fellas and the soldiers coming to get him. And he knew it. But when he was praying and talking to the Father, he asked the Father for what he wanted. And what he wanted, what if there was any way that they could do it any other way than having the Father's wrath poured out on him. But the Father made it known to him that this is the way we're going to do it. And he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And he was an example. He didn't just yappity, yappity, yap, yap, yap and say he was going to do and then not do. Jesus proved his obedience by his obedience. And obedience can't be mistaken. You can perform in your life, and that's just exactly what it is a performance. Something can look like obedience and be theatrical and be a performance. But it's not from the heart. It's a performance. And there's going to be a lot of people that are going to stand in judgment. And they're going to say, "Lord, I did what you said." And he's going to say, "Depart from me. I know you not." And why is he going to say that? Even though they did what his word said and this, that, and that. Because they didn't accept his son. They rejected his son. And they were not sincere in their heart. And they weren't obedient to God's word in their heart. Toward his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There won't be a whole bunch of surprises at the throne because of man looks on the outward appearance, but God trieth the hearts. You see, the Lord not only knows what you're thinking, but he knows why you're thinking what you're thinking. You see, that's when it goes from the outside to the inside. You can say what you're thinking, and people can decipher what you're thinking, but they don't know why you're thinking it. That's down in the heart. And that's where God does his evaluating, you see. So Jesus was our example from the heart. From the heart. He came down here to do something for us. He didn't come down here to benefit himself. What did he get out of it? Yeah. Look at this. He was obedient to God the Father's what? To God the Father's will. And that's one thing about obedience is Jesus gave us an example of what obedience is. There's the difference. Whose will are you following? Whose will are you exercising? Are you exercising your own will? And sometimes that's not bad. You can exercise your own will, but when it comes to doctrinal things and it comes to important things and spiritual things, I mean, when it comes between your will and God's will, whose will are you obedient to? Jesus was obedient to God the Father's will. He said, "Not my will, but thine be done. He sacrificed his own will and set it aside and concentrated on the Father's will. Now, what is that an example about to us concerning obedience? Let's move on. That's not all. John chapter 10 and verse 30 is a very short verse. It says, I and my Father are one. Now, he was not in any way unequal with the Father, and he declared it. He said, I and my Father are one. Now, according to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 through 11, listen to this. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, God in the flesh, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Remember the last verse, John 10:30, it said, I and my Father are one. Okay, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus was an example of obedience. The Bible right there in Philippians tells us that God the Father was very pleased with his obedience and has rewarded him and highly exalted him above every name because of obedience. But he came, the Lord put it in his word there, and had the writer, the Holy Ghost had the writer put down that he not only was obedient, but he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Being innocent. Now, according to Philippians 2, 5 through 11, Jesus was obedient unto what? He was obedient unto death. You haven't had to give your life for somebody else's will concerning obedience yet, have you? The Lord said in another place, he said, he that loseth his life shall gain it, and he that keepeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life shall find it. Okay, I might have butchered that up, but anyway, that's what the Lord was talking about. The Lord was talking about who are you going to spend your life on? You going to spend it on yourself, or you going to spend it being obedient to the Lord? In Luke chapter 2, verse 51, the Bible says, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Luke 2:51 said that when Jesus was a child, it tells us that Jesus as a child was what? Subject unto his earthly mother and Joseph. He was subject unto them. What does that mean? What's subject mean? He submitted himself. He was obedient. Even as a child, the Lord was obedient. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 through 10, we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, our example as far as obedience. The Lord didn't just tell us to be obedient and went back to heaven. The Lord lived an example of obedience. He spoke with his words as an example of obedience. He pointed us to the Father, and even when he ascended, he sent God the Holy Ghost to help us to be obedient and do the right thing. You know, obedience is a privilege. It's something that we get to do. God could, you know, one thing that you don't want the Lord to do is to leave you down here with your will to live by. Because you know what you'll do? Self-destruct, just like me. Has your will ever gotten you anywhere yet? Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 through 10, the Bible says this. Listen to this. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. The Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ was our example when it comes to obedience. There's a lot of smart alecks out there that have something real sassy and smart and sarcastic to say about the Lord. And they're going to stand before the Lord and the Lord's going to ask them to repeat that. What was that you said about me? Go ahead, say it again. No, I said, say it again. No, I said, say it again. A lot of miles are running right now, and that's okay. The Bible says you're going to give account of every word that proceeds out of his mouth, a man. Jesus, as a human, learned obedience through suffering. Now, the Bible tells us, and it's not something that you have to sit on your hands to keep from waving at everybody because you're so happy about it, is that the Bible says that you're appointed to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ's name if you're going to be obedient. If you're going to be an obedient child of God in the body of Christ, you're going to suffer one way or another. Jesus was the example of obedience. He had no house to live in. He was homeless. He trusted the Father for every bit of his needs. And he done nothing but give the entire time of his ministry. And then they killed him because he went about doing good. And the Jews rejected him as king and didn't want him. They said, our king is Caesar. And they said, let his blood be upon us and our children. And boy, has it ever been. Jesus, as a human being, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. But the things which he suffered by being obedient made him perfect. He was already perfect as a God, but what I mean is as a human being, God in the flesh, as a human being, bringing the blood for a sacrifice for eternal salvation. He was perfect in doing that and obeying. It had to be done perfectly so that God would accept it. And he did it by obedience. So Christ has been our example for obedience, and you have to confess that. If you know anything about the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know him personally, and you know anything about the way he has treated you and has been teaching you about obedience, there might be some hard lessons that you've been learning about obedience. I think we all go through some hard ones in that category. But he's been faithful, and he's not been a teacher that don't know what he's talking about. He knows about obedience, and he knows about being a human being and what it takes to be obedient as a human being, doesn't he? He's the example. So when he gives us instruction, and God the Holy Ghost teaches us about obedience, He's not asking us to do something that He hasn't already been through. And He said that He would be with us and never leave us nor forsake us. And He hasn't, has He? He's never left us, never forsook us, and has never let us down. And He's trying to teach every one of us that obedience is a privilege. But a lot of times, when we get into this thing and get into being completely obedient to the Lord and find out that there's suffering involved, that's different. A lot of times. Until you find out that even being obedient to the Lord and suffering for the Lord is admirable in the Lord's eyes, and the Lord is very pleased with that kind of suffering. You know, when you look at it one way or the other, you're going to be obedient. It's just a matter of who you're going to be obedient to. If you ain't obedient to the Lord and obedient to His ways and His word, you're going to be obedient to Caesar, and you're going to be obedient to the world. And the world's going to tell you, somebody's going to always be telling you what to do. You say, ain't nobody telling me what to do. Oh, yeah. Somebody's going to always be telling you what to do. It's just a matter of who you want to be your master. When is there a time in your life that you've ever done what you wanted to do? Ain't that what you've been striving for all your life? Is me won't do what me won't do? Me won't be obedient to me? Man, the last thing you want in the world is to be obedient, is to instruct yourself and be your own boss. That's the last thing you want. The idea is to get the good master. Jesus is the good master, and He is. So that's not all. The Lord Jesus Christ was our example. Let's move on to another thing. Now, there's different relationships that require obedience toward authority. We're going to talk about some of the different relationships that the scriptures show us concerning different relationships that require obedience toward authority. For example, the marriage relationship. This is a relationship that's scriptural, that the Bible talks about. Lots of scripture concerning the marital relationship. And when we talk about the marital relationship, we're not talking about two women being in the same bed. We're not talking about two men being in the same bed. We're talking about a marital relationship, scriptural marital relationship, husband and wife. Husband and wife. Ephesians 5:22. Now, in this relationship, the marital relationship, there is the factor of obedience toward authority. There is authority in a marital relationship, and there has to be obedience toward the authority in the relationship. So what does the Bible say? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. There's no way to get that confused. You know, all these rights, and I got my rights, and all this kind of gobbledygook that's going on in the world, stay out of that junk. Get as far away from that mess as you can. It corrupts your mind and your thinking, and it gets your life all messed up. And all you do is walk around with your stinking nose up in the air thinking that you're better than somebody else because you're a woman, and because of this, that, and the other. And what have they done? Abandoned their men, abandoned their children, and grouped all together, and we are somebody, and ain't done a thing in the world but mess up God's plan concerning a marital relationship, and got this world all messed up, and the men too. But the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, is there obedience described in the marital relationship in Ephesians 5:22? Yes. Who's it talking to? It's talking to the wives. Submit yourself unto your own husbands. We just got through talking about Jesus' example of submitting himself and being subject unto the Father. Jesus wouldn't say anything about the wives and what was best for women and the wives in a relationship and the marital relationship. God set this up. How can it be bad? Colossians chapter 3, verse 18, it says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord." Why would you argue with that? You say, well, men just won't. Men don't just won't. The Lord set up the marital relationship so it could be the most prosperous that it could be. And that's the way the Lord wanted it. And that's the way the woman will be her happiest. And that's the way the man will be his happiest. And the Lord set it up. Now, remember what we're talking about. We're talking about obedience, and we're talking about in different relationships, and we're talking about obedience toward the authority in these relationships. In the marital relationships, the Bible describes the husband as being the authority in the family, as far as the marital relationship, not the family, but the marital relationship, husband and wife. The husband is in charge as far as the authority. Now, the Lord not only puts the authority on him, but he makes him responsible with that authority. The wife is not responsible to God for authority. Now, all these women that are running around trying to have the authority and think they got authority and blah, 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 the Lord hadn't changed his mind. And let me just say this. Look around you. Is it working? In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 6, listen to this. Now, we're still on the marital relationship concerning obedience toward authority. It says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word," in other words, the husband's not saved, "they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives." Not talking about wives having conversation with one another, but the wife of this unsaved husband, the manner of her life, her conversation, the way that she lives in front of him. It says, "while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, that you fear God and you discipline yourself and you obey God even in front of your husband that's unsaved." It says, "whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting of hair and wearing of gold and of putting on of apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the heart." Remember we talked about obedience begins in the heart? The Lord said, "let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement." The Bible is very clear concerning the marital relationship. The only problems that are in the world today concerning the marital relationship come from pride and selfishness. And I want what me want. I don't care what God wants. I want what me want. And it don't change a thing. As a matter of fact, people are even more unhappy. Probably not anything in the world more disgusting than men and women out of their relationship and out of their measure as far as what God says their measure is. And we have measures. The Lord has given you a measure of obedience toward authority. He has given you an authority, and you know who that authority is, and you are to submit and subject to it. Men have authorities also, and women have authorities, and rebellion against the authority is a rebellion against God's authority. It's just, that's the way it is. And that's the way the Lord has put it. Now, if you don't agree with that, and you're going to go, whatever, what me won't do, go ahead. But you're not going to be happy with it, and you're not going to like it, and it ain't going to end up the way that you think it is. It's going to end up the way that the Scriptures say. And as a matter of fact, you take off and run and go do what me won't do, you're going to destroy a lot of things. Look around you. Look around. Oh, yeah, they've come out with even the women's big hot shots, whoever they are, they've come out with the doctors have come out with a new remedy for other children's problems in the world. You know what it is? I mean, it'll change. If you wait long enough, it'll change and they'll come up with something new. But you know what it is right now? It's that they need their daddies in their life. Oh, my. Different relationships that require obedience towards authority. We're talking about obedience, the letter O. All right, listen to this. The marital relationship. So, according to the marital relationship and the Scriptures that we've read in the Scriptures so far, listen to this one, though. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34 and 35. It says, "Let your women keep silence in the churches." This is New Testament, Pauline epistle, New Testament doctrine. This is not Old Testament under the law, blah, 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 blah. This is New Testament for the Christian in this dispensation. It says, "Let your women keep silence in the churches." And just in case you didn't understand that, "For it is not permitted unto them to speak." Does that sound like a commandment? Well, just in case you're confused in that, let's move on through the verse. "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for women to speak in the church." Now, I didn't say that. I agree with it because that's what God said. I don't know why the Lord set it up like that. And I'm not even going to ask him when I get there, because we're going to have the mind of Christ and we'll understand it. But you women out there that are listening to this, and you men also that are listening to this, when it comes to obedience, the Bible's very clear. That verse right there with you women, it tells you exactly, and even tells you the depth of the obedience and the description of the obedience, and gives you an outline of what your character and your conversation, your manner of life is supposed to be with your husband in the marital relationship. And then it declares it and describes it, even having to do with your obedience in the church. Now, I don't know why God did it that way, but that's the way he did it. You're either going to be, he said it, and either you're going to be obedient to it or you're not. And forget that the reason that it's got to be this way is because men want it to be. Men didn't write the script. Men wrote the Scriptures by the authority of God the Holy Ghost that dictated it to them and dictated God's will to them to write down. That's God's words. If you want to be the happiest person in the world, you need to conform or the happiest that you can be when it comes to this study, obedience. You need to conform yourself to the scriptural obedience that is described for you. And for the women, or in the marital relationship, the Bible says the authority is the man. And the Bible says that the women are to submit and be in subjection to their husbands. That's what it says. Now listen to this. Not just talking to you women, but in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 19 concerning the marital relationship, it says, husbands, are you listening, men? Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. If you got a wife that's trying to be obedient to God and be obedient to you, and she is doing everything in her power to try to be obedient to you, and you ain't nothing but a stinking grudge and a stinking a taskmaster, and you're taking advantage of the way that the Lord has asked her to be, and you're using and misusing it, shame on you. When a woman is obedient the way that God says for her to be obedient to a man, it ought to humble you, fellas. It ought to make you, her obedience to you ought to make you love her with Christ's love, a sacrificial love, that you go out of your way not to be bitter against her, to understand her. The Bible says, dwell with her according to knowledge. Know her ways, know her thinking, know what she needs. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. The marital relationship, talking about obedience. Is there any obedience in that verse right there in a marital relationship with a husband? Yes. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, the Bible says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them. Dwell with who? Dwell with your wife. The marital relationship, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. How many of you fellows out there have honored your wife on purpose? Now, we was on the wives a minute ago, and they understand that they're supposed to be subject unto you and submit to you and your authority. But your authority is not supposed to be on your pulled back shoulders and your chin up in the air. Your authority is supposed to be a sacrificial authority that shows humility and love for your wife. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Do you see what the Bible said? The Bible says concerning obedience in the marital relationship that you husbands and you wives, concerning your obedience, can hinder your prayers. Because you're not treating each other the way you ought to be treating each other, and you're not behaving in your life according to the way that God says your measure ought to be. Listen to this, fellas. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. What's that talking about? That's talking about sacrificial love. He learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Are you suffering for your wife, fella? Why not? If you got a wife that submits herself to you and humbles herself to you and is obedient like a Christian woman has to submit herself and humble herself, and she has to suffer through disciplining herself to be obedient to you, it ought to humble you. And you husbands are supposed to love your wives, the marital relationship having to do with obedience. You are to be obedient to the Lord and love your wife. And you're to honor her. And you're to dwell with her according to knowledge. it ain't what you want all the time. You're supposed to know what she needs and what she wants. And you're supposed to do it knowing that she's the weaker vessel and she needs your strength. And that you can both be heirs together of the grace of life. Now that's the marital relationship. We're talking about different relationships that require obedience toward authority. And we've only been able to get through this first one, which is the marital relationship, which is all right. We finished all the scriptures concerning the marital relationship, and we're done talking about the husband and wife concerning, do you understand what your measure is in the marital relationship concerning being a husband? You're in charge. But you're in charge with Christ watching. And it's supposed to be an honest and sincere authority. You're in charge because the Lord said so, not because He thought that you deserved it. He thought the Lord wanted it to be this way. And when you get up there and you see Him face to face, you can ask Him. Women, you can ask Him. Men, you can ask Him. But we're not talking about when we get up there. We're talking about right here, right now. And what the Bible says, what God says about the way things are supposed to be as far as obedience and authority having to do with the marital relationship. Now, you're either willing or you're not willing. One or the other. Up or down, in or out, salt or pepper, black or white. Which is it? Are you willing? The Lord said that He loves a willing servant. You women have heard about what the Lord thinks about obedience with you and what the Lord's will is concerning that. Remember, Christ is our example, and He didn't go by His own will. He went by the Father's will. You women going to go by your will, or you going to go by the Lord's will? You men, you going to go by your will, or you going to go by the Lord's will? You rebellious women, you're not impressing anybody. And you rebellious men, you're not impressing anybody. The Lord didn't say He was pleased. He was pleased with any kind of rebellion. He said the great price, in the eyes of the Lord, the great price was, it said, which is in the sight of God, of great price. What was of a great price? But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. So God does care, and He does watch how obedient you are and why you're obedient when it comes from the heart. You're serving God because you want to and because you love Him, or you're serving Him because you want everybody else to know that that's what you do, and you want to be known as a servant of God. You serve Him from the heart all the time. He's your friend. He's your Savior. And we love Him because we get to, not because we have to. Amen? All right. Different relationships that require obedience toward authority. There are several more that we're going to go over. I think there's about 10 of them as far as relationships that we're going to talk about. And we've only talked about one of them so far, which was necessary. I hope you'll pray about these things concerning the marital relationship having to do with obedience and the authority, and that you'll not let these things destroy your marriage or hinder your prayers or your marriage, but that you'll set things in order the way that the Lord says and then enjoy them. It's not what Dr. Phil says. He's an idiot. It's what saith the Lord. the Holy Scriptures. What does the Lord say? What does the Bible say? Well, I think, no, what's the Bible say? You really want to have joy and true happiness and in that marital relationship, and you want things to be right and proper? Do it the way that the Lord says. Both of you. Different relationships that require obedience toward authority. Well, we've been studying today in obedience, and I thank you for listening to this. If you hadn't already turned me off or banged up your recorder or whatever you did, I hope none of you got your bat out. But anyway, sacrifice. Christ's love is a sacrificial love. It ain't just yappity, yappity, yap, yap, yap. Oh, yeah, well, she's saying it again. And, oh, well, he says that all the time. But Christ's love is a sacrificial love. You can't help but see it because somebody is given what they didn't have to give in order for you to benefit. That's Christ's love. That's the obedient love that he was an example about that should be prominent in a marital relationship. Amen. Well, let me give you these scriptures. Are you ready? Okay, different relationships that require obedience towards authority. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34 and 35. Colossians chapter 3, verse 19. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Wait a minute, I've gone too far. Okay. 1 Corinthians, okay, go ahead and keep them, and some of those are going to bleed. Go ahead and read them, though, but some of them are going to bleed over into our next one, and I'll give you the rest of them. We'll pick up there. I think the last one I give you was Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. That's beginning the next relationship that we're going to talk about as far as the parent and child relationship in the home. Different relationships that require obedience toward authority. And as a matter of fact, why don't you just get your children to listen to this next one with you also concerning the child's relationship with their parent in the home. What do we talk about whenever we begin this study about children's suicide being number two, you remember? From 1 to 4 years old, they die. The fourth cause is homicide. From 5 to 9 years old, the fourth cause of death in the United States is homicide. People kill them, or whoever kills them, their parents or whatever. But anyway, they're being killed. And then from 10 to 14, everything changes. Or not changes, but there's something added to it. The fourth cause of death from 10 to 14 years old is homicide. Somebody kills them. But number two is suicide. Parental obedience with a child, is that important? You better believe it's important, especially today. From the ages of 10 to 24 or 10 to 34, the second cause of death is suicide. And you don't think suicide is the ending factor or the ending result of obedience somewhere along the line? Probably so. All right. Well, the Lord be kind to you, and really appreciate you listening in to these. And we've had a good day. I've enjoyed my study, and I hope you have too. I've learned what the Lord's will is, and I'm going to try to incorporate it into my life and live it because I want to and because the Lord's pleased with that, and not because I have to. Because I love my Savior, and so do you. Have a wonderful evening, and see you on the next study, and look forward to it. Bye-bye.